But the significant thing about the cloth for us today is that the cloth was colored purple. In Bible times, purple was a very expensive cloth to wear. The dye came from shellfish and was very rare. And so only the rich and the powerful could afford to wear purple. And the cloth that has been found in the Timna Valley, it might even have been worn by David or Solomon. Who knows? Obviously, we can't prove that one way or another. But nevertheless, the archaeologists have been excited to have found a piece of cloth still with that particular color within it. And in the providence of God, we come today to the story of a woman in Bible times who was a seller of purple cloth in the first century AD. Lydia was her name, and we're told about her here in Acts chapter 16. But it's not the fact that she was a seller of purple cloth that's most significant here today. What's most significant is that Lydia's heart was opened by God. She was converted to Jesus Christ, and as far as we know, she was the first convert on the continent of Europe, the very continent that we find ourselves living on and part of today. And so as we come to Acts chapter 16, maybe it'd be useful for you to have this passage of Scripture open. We read in verse 13, the record on the Sabbath, we, that is Luke and Paul and their compatriots, went out of the city to a riverside, expecting to find a place of prayer, and they sat down and began to speak unto the women who had gathered there. Just a little bit of background. Philippi was a Roman colony. It was a very Roman town in a Greek country. There was no synagogue there. In order to have a synagogue, it required 10 adult men, but there obviously weren't 10 Jews there, adult Jews. And Paul could have said, well, there's no synagogue, it's hardly worth trying to find one. And he could have said to himself, well, hardly go to the women's prayer meeting either. But he went. It's good to go to the place of prayer, good to go to the prayer meeting if at all possible. And Paul went there as he had a heart, obviously, for God. And he went to that place. And as he got there, he found in that place these women who had gathered for prayer. And we're told that when they went there, they began to speak to them. And I'm quite sure in verse 13, when they spoke to them, they started with a few pleasantries. Nice weather. Do you live in the area? Where are you all from? And so on. But the significant thing is not the pleasantries that Paul would have exchanged with these women. It is the fact that he shared the gospel message with these women. The good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was always looking for an opportunity to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, to spread the word, to tell about what God has done in history. For the salvation of men and of women and the Acts of the Apostles is the story of that message being rolled out across the world from the time of Christ. And so today, as we listen to this passage of Scripture and as we grapple with the meaning of it, I want to say three things about Lydia, this woman whose heart the Lord opened as she came to understand exactly what the apostle was saying that Sabbath day by the riverside in Philippi. First of all, let's look at her and let's say that Lydia was a worshiper of God. And a certain woman named Lydia, verse 14, a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, she worshipped God and heard us as we brought the message to her. What strikes me is that this woman was a worshiper of God. She didn't know God. She hadn't yet heard the gospel. She hadn't yet been converted, as we would say, to Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, she was a worshiper of God. You see, all people know that there is a God, because God has put eternity into every human heart. Not all people choose to admit that. Many people choose to close out God, choose not to follow their inner yearnings, their inner longings. But Lydia was someone who was following those yearnings. Lydia was someone who was eager to know. Lydia was someone who wanted to find the truth out about God. She was a worshiper of God. I heard a scientist on the radio this week speak of how people in what he called the pre-scientific age believed in God. But nowadays, his tone was, well, this is the scientific age. We have moved on from that sort of thing. trouble for him is there are quite a number of scientists in all sorts of fields across the world today who are believers, even born-again believers, and they see no contradiction whatsoever between God and science. In fact, their knowledge of science and their discovery of the laws of nature and that we don't live in a chaotic world has convinced them that there must be a God. There must be a mind behind the order and the complexity that we see within our world. And those men are following up those yearnings, those desires to know. And I wonder, do you have a desire to know whether there is a God or not? Because all people want to know. Everyone has an opinion on God, you know. Even the atheist has an opinion on God. And I wonder what your opinion on God is. Lydia, this woman of substance, has gone to the place of worship. And I love the way she is a woman of substance. She's a businesswoman. She's a dealer in rich people's cloth, the purple cloth that the rich and powerful would have worn. She owns a house in the area, we discover from verse 40. So we might say that this woman is very much a woman of substance. Just in passing, don't believe all that stuff in the modern feminism movement that women across the centuries have always been downtrodden and need liberated. No doubt there are those who do. But here is a very liberated first century woman, running her own business, selling cloth to the rich, owning her own house. Notice too, her wealth hasn't prevented her from worshiping God. Some people, their wealth cocoons them. They live in a shell and all they can do is see their wealth. They don't want to admit that every good and perfect gift comes from heaven above. They take the goodies and they ignore the source of all good, who is God. But that's not Lydia. She has gone to this place of prayer. She's wealthy, but she's a worshiper of God. And it's really interesting that she hasn't yet heard the gospel, but she's still a worshiper of God. To worship is to give God his worth. It is to respect God, to acknowledge God, to confess that God is there. In Bible times, and we often come across these folk in the Gospels especially, there were the Jews who went to the synagogues, but there were also the God-fearers, as they were called. People who didn't live like pagans, but neither did they live like Jews. They were in between. They were people who were respectable. Our churches can have many such people within them to this day. People who acknowledge there is a God. People who join in the singing of God's praise, who bow their heads in prayer, who give to God's work. They may even read their Bibles daily and be very familiar with it, but they don't know God. They don't have that personal, life-changing knowledge, that easy conscience when the peace of God is brought to them through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, do you have a conscience today that is easy because you know God, or is your conscience an uneasy conscience? I wonder, was Lydia someone with an uneasy conscience? There's once a famous bishop of County Down who hounded the gospel minister, Robert Blair, from his pulpit and excommunicated him. Thankfully, these days have passed. This is back in the 1600s. But having hounded the minister from his pulpit and excommunicated him, shortly afterwards, the bishop fell seriously ill. The doctor came to visit him and to ask what was wrong, and the bishop replied, "It's my conscience." And the doctor said this, "I've no cure for that." And how many people are looking for a cure for their conscience, maybe in church going, looking for a cure for their conscience in the GP surgery, looking for a cure for their conscience in a bottle of this or that, looking for a cure for their conscience and respectable living, even in a profession of faith. It's good Lydia was at the prayer meeting. It's good Lydia was a worshiper of God. It's clearly a sign there's something going on in her heart, but she's not there yet. She's not got that peace of God. She's not got that peace of conscience that she's right with God. Maybe today you can identify with someone like Lydia. Maybe you're very successful business person yourself. And maybe you are a worshiper of God and you know there is a God deep down. But as yet you don't know God. You're not saved and not living that changed life to the glory and honor of God. That's Lydia, the worshiper. Secondly, let me go on to talk about Lydia, the welcomer. For Lydia, as she listened to Jesus speaking to her through Paul, we're told in verse 14, the Lord opened her heart. And what a precious statement that is. You know what it's like when you go to the door of someone's house and you knock on the door and there's no answer. You knock again and there's no answer. And you think to yourself, is there anybody in? You have a duke maybe in through the door. Is there a light on? Is there any noise? Can you hear the TV? Are there background noise, people talking? And then comes that moment when the door opens. And it's great when the door opens and you haven't made a wasted journey. Notice here as Paul is speaking, Lydia, the Lord opens her heart. The door opens. It's been closed. It's been closed by sin. And sin closes us to God. You remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned in the Garden of Eden, they were expelled from the garden, and two fiery angels blocked their way back. They were closed out. They were locked out. There was no way back into the presence of God because they had broken the law of God. And ever since, every human being has been closed out to God. That's why we have the guilty conscience. We are conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in our natural state, none of us seeks for God. C.S. Lewis put it beautifully. He said, man in his natural state no more seeks for God than a mouse seeks for a cat. We resist God. We resent God. We refuse God. And yet, God in his grace sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. That's the key to what's behind the vision that has brought Paul to this place. In verse 9, Paul had seen a vision. Come over to Macedonia and help us. We're blind. We're closed to God. We need help. And Paul came to tell them that the good news was that God had come in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek and to save the lost. Because if we were left to ourselves, we're heading for the wrath of God. But the good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world to bring us salvation, to die on the cross for our sins. And that's why in his ministry, he gathered up the blind, the lame, the diseased, the demon-possessed, the dead, and he translated them into his kingdom. They didn't do it. Jesus did it. And they believed on him. And many, many people opened the door of their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ as they heard the message, as they saw the miracles, as they believed, as God gave them the grace. And that's happening here with Lydia at the riverbank. It's interesting, isn't it? She's the only person. There were a number of women there, but this is the only woman. It seems to be that God worked in that day. And as she heard Paul talk about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins to save us from the wrath that is to come, as she listened, God opened the door of her heart. God opened it. And Lydia believed. And Lydia received. She welcomed the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lydia's life was transformed. She repented of her sins. And she believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. What we have here, you see, surgeons nowadays, when they're doing surgery, they'll talk about open heart surgery. Well, here's a woman whose heart is opened by God. Here's a woman who's now, as she listens to this message, in the words of Paul to Titus in chapter 3 of that letter, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. I've mentioned at other times the book by Henry Scougal, The Life of God and the Soul of Man. And really, that's a summary of what's going on here today. There is the life of God being imparted into the soul of this woman. Edward Bryce was a one-time minister of Ballycarry Presbyterian Church, and it was said of him that in all his preaching, he insisted most on the life of Christ in the heart. You see, Christianity is not about rituals and traditions and just keeping up a form of things. Christianity is about the life of Christ in the heart. And here, as Lydia listens to the gospel of what God has done in space and in time in the Lord Jesus Christ, she receives the life of Christ into her heart. And God begins a good work in her. He renews her by the Holy Spirit. He washes her in rebirth. And he gives her a new place to stand, the rock that is the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of people in our world nowadays are at sea. Their lives are totally chaotic. Their lives are messed up. They're all over the place. And particularly in this coronavirus time, so many lives have been rattled. People are asking questions, looking for a firm place to stand. Well, here as Lydia listens to the gospel, the Lord opens her heart and she welcomes the Lord. She is Lydia, the welcomer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, have you ever welcomed the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart? And what a transformation for the good he will make to your life. And lastly today, we're going to think about Lydia, the witness. Notice, first of all, in verse 15, she was baptized. Along with the members of her household, she must have told the members of her household. She witnessed to them about what God had done in her and for her. The baptism was a sign of a public confession of faith. Lydia's world, remember, was a world of many gods, plural. There were Roman gods, there were Greek gods, and there were many of them. But here is Lydia's public statement now that she has come to know the one true and living God and Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he has sent. She's not ashamed of her faith in Christ. She may even have been baptized with water from the very river where the prayer meeting met, maybe as the other women watched on. Lydia's faith is no privatized faith. This is a public faith to be confessed to all and sundry. The world would love it, you know, if we kept our faith to ourselves. If we just kept a privatized faith and said nothing to anybody. And the modern world, with its secularism and its pluralism, is so militant against Christian faith. And we live very often in a cold house for believers. But Lydia here is challenging you and challenging me to live out your faith publicly, to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you have seen the light, how can you live as if you're still in the dark? Be salt and light wherever God has placed you. Notice also her humility. As she says to Paul in verse 15, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. She's not high and mighty. She's not arrogant. She's meek. Just to illustrate, I mean, if someone has come to know the Lord, they can't be arrogant. They can't be a know-it-all. There has to be that if in their lives, that gentle humility. To illustrate, Billy and Jane had been married for 20 years, and Jane had to win every argument. But when she got converted to Jesus Christ and disagreements arose between her and Billy, she started to say to him, if that's what you think, that's okay. If that's what you want, then that's okay. Billy couldn't believe his ears, the change in Jane. That she was now prepared to say, if, when before it had only been her way or no way. There was that new humility. That was the sign that she had come to receive Christ. And notice also, in addition to Lydia's witness and her public profession of faith and her humility, there's also a newfound hospitality in verse 15. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. It seems the apostles were saying, no, it'd be too much trouble. She persuaded us, come and stay at my house. And we're told about that again in the very last verse of the chapter in verse 40. You see, with the opening of Lydia's heart, there's the opening of Lydia's home. The welcoming in of outsiders. The early church in Philippi may even have met in her house when there weren't church buildings at that time. Lydia is using her means for the good of the kingdom of God. I think of a Christian as I finish in a similar vein, getting a new car. I'm praying that she would be able to use that car for the Lord, and she did. Giving people lifts, medical appointments, shopping trips. She took people here and there and thither. It doesn't have to be your house. It can be your car. It can be some other way that you show hospitality to people. And let your life and your good deeds speak as much as the words of your lips. So we've seen Lydia, the worshiper, Lydia, the welcomer, and Lydia, the witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most important thing of all is that the Lord had opened her heart. It was closed, but the Lord had opened it. And may God, by his grace, do that work in your life. May he begin that work in your life today if he hasn't already done so. And if he has done that work, may it show in the way you live your life and the attitudes that you have on display, and even the way you use your possessions for the good and the glory of God. Our closing hymn has the line within it, "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart." Christianity is a heart. It's of the heart.